Am I a child of God? Am I saved? Can this question be answered this side of death? Can anyone answer it so that I may be absolutely sure that my sins are all forgiven and that the Holy Spirit lives in me, preparing me for eternal glory? We're going to try to answer these perplexing questions for you this morning. And I pray that before we are through, you will know if you are a child of God, saved by Jesus Christ through faith. If this is not your experience, then I pray that you will recognize you are a slave of sin. And your greatest need this morning is to settle the issue, that is, to repent, to believe, and be saved. And so let's pray that God be pleased to bring this message to every heart as we tarry these moments together. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are God. We are your creation. We thank you for your concern about the plight that we are in. We thank you for the provisions of so great salvation, and we pray that your word might be clear and understandable to us this morning as we study it. We'll praise you and we thank you for it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We want to read this morning from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and I want to put in at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Paul writes these words. And now, my brothers, I must remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, the gospel which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and which is now bringing you salvation. Do you still hold fast the gospel as I preached it to you? If not, your conversion was in vain. First and foremost, I handed on to you the facts which had been imparted to me. I am still reading. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised to life on the third day according to the Scriptures. Thus ends our reading, and may God be pleased to bless us as we consider these words. In teaching, preaching, reading, and hearing the Word of God, we all will readily agree that we have three great truths which come at us from the Scriptures. One is, we must all die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed, or it is the lot of every one of us to die. The second great and important truth is the sure judgment we all must face after death. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And finally, the need of believing unto salvation. John chapter 3. Many people today, perhaps too many, have no idea what it means to be born from above. Some so-called Christians know nothing about regeneration, familiar with the word, born again, but never having experienced the new birth. You may be one who thinks it's some kind of a religious belief or some kind of a thing from the Bible. Why, what do I mean by that? Well, you may be one who is sincere in your religious convictions. Confirmed, baptized, joined the church, participating in the communion table. You may even teach Sunday school, hold a church office, yes, and even be a preacher, and not be born of the Spirit of God. This is a solemn thought and should move us all to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. The teaching of the new birth was to Nicodemus. Now we ask, who was he? He was religious, sincere, a decent moral man, a teacher in Israel. John chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 10. And yet, he was totally ignorant of this most important need which he had. Sincerity in one's religious convictions does not mean you have been born again. I hope you are not of the crowd which think a change of lifestyle, the abandonment of bad habits, means I am a new creature. To be saved, to be born from above, is not a matter of change of behavior or turning over a new leaf. Some believe positive thinking, a positive frame of mind, will produce self-esteem, feel good about myself. A rebirth in my thinking has nothing to do with born again by the Spirit of God. And we also have some of us who think we have been born in a Christian home, grew up and was taught in a Christian church, and perhaps a product of Christian school, and so this makes a Christian. The Lord is clear on this point as he spoke to Nicodemus, John chapter 3 and verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of the Spirit of God, the Lord said. Nor can all the ceremonies or rites of any church or religious organization bring about the new birth. We have read, not of the will of man. The new life is birthed by the Spirit of God, John chapter 3 and verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So now, after we have said all this, what does it mean to believe and be born again, or born from above, or born anew, become a new creature? What does it mean? Why do we repeat in our message, you must be born again? The answer is logical. We are born, that is, physically born, with a sinful human nature. The word in Scripture, flesh, refers to that sinful nature which every one of us is born with when we are physically born. This sinful nature has been handed down by physical birth to every descendant of Adam. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, I read, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. The New English Bible renders this verse in this way, and so death pervaded the whole human race. This sinful nature, the natural man, is called by the Word of God an enemy of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the sinful mind is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Verse 8. Those controlled by their sinful nature cannot please God. So that a person does not naturally have spiritual ability to enjoy the things of God. Paul, led by the Spirit of God, saw this clearly, and he penned the words for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Why not? They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We can educate, we can Christianize, but the person will still be unchanged and is unable to please God. God, by his Holy Spirit, must impart spiritual life or divine nature, a spiritual ability to understand and enjoy the things of God. We must be born again by the Spirit of God, receiving the divine nature to please God and to enjoy God. In Peter's second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 4, we read, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It is right for you to ask the question now, how can a person be born again or born from above? Let's see what the Word of God says on this issue. As the Word of God is read or heard, God the Holy Spirit gives understanding and opens the heart, not only to understand what is read or what is said, but opens the heart to respond to the message. Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. God uses means, and one, the primary one, is the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can this new birth come? Through the Word. James chapter 1 and verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. The word of God, when read or heard and believed, cleans the mind of the sinner of wrong ideas of God and the salvation which he offers. The moment a sinner believes in Jesus Christ, he seals him by his indwelling presence, seals him as Christ's purchased possession. Faith in Jesus Christ in the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. First of all, we must confess we have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned. In the all, I have sinned and come short before God. And because my sin and because your sin is a sin against God, God has revealed his wrath against all sin. Romans 1, 18, we read. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. And also, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And so, for a sinner to be born again, he must repent. That is, he must change his mind, which will change his attitude toward the things of God shown by his actions, or, if you please, change of lifestyle. God demands this of every sinner lost. We find this in our Lord's words in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Jesus also said here, and I read, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This command does not come from man or from the church. It comes through the word of God. God himself reveals this truth to us. John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You may hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. The provision is made by God. Jesus Christ, his Son, was lifted on a cross to provide salvation for sinners lost. On that cross, he took my place. Yes, my friend, he took your place. There he suffered all the judgment we deserved for our sins. And by his death, he satisfied our God's demands against us. God the Father tells us this truth in a number of places. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The provision God the Father made is this: his Son, Jesus Christ, offered for us. The fact that Christ died for our sins and accomplished all needed for our salvation will not save a single sinner unless that sinner, every sinner, personally believes in Jesus Christ and trusts him as his own Savior. Our Lord meant just that when in John 3:16 he said that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting life. Every person who recognizes their lost condition is encouraged, urged to believe, trust in the work of Jesus Christ, and receive him. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to them who believe on his name. When I speak about salvation, what do I mean? The words saved, save, savior, salvation, we find quite frequently in the Bible. The word salvation simply means deliverance. We often say a certain person was saved from drowning or from a house on fire, and we can conclude that the person was in danger. Someone saw their condition and went to rescue them from their danger. And their rescuer was successful in his mission and saved the person from their condition. Now, what is the condition of a person that makes it necessary for Jesus Christ to save? We have already said the spiritual condition of every person who comes into the world is a sinner by birth, a sinful human nature. This sinful nature is displayed by sinful thoughts, sinful words, and an attitude of enmity against God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed on all, for all have sinned. Romans 5 and verse 18. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all to condemnation. We can see from these two passages, but there are many more, but this will do for now. It's evident from these that every person is a sinner needing forgiveness, lost, has to be found, spiritually dead, needing life, guilty, and in need of pardon. Every person is absolutely helpless to save themselves. The good news is the gospel of saving grace, that God, through the work of his beloved Son, has brought salvation. Christ came to be the Savior of sinners, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He shall save his people from their sins. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this salvation has been accomplished. When he, Jesus Christ, willingly hung on a cross, he took the sins of his people in his own body and died as a substitutionary sacrifice on behalf of all who will believe. All God's judgments against us fell on him, and all God's claims against us were met by Christ's death on our behalf. God the Father said it was so by raising him from the dead and seating him at his own right hand. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Since a person is lost, is in need of salvation, and the salvation has been provided, what must a sinner do in order to experience this salvation? The Apostle Paul's words in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 are these: God commands all people everywhere to repent. This is a change of mind which results in a change of attitude towards sin, change of attitude toward oneself, salvation, and the Savior. All this will be seen in the change of behavior or lifestyle. When the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, touches the heart, the sinner's indifference to all these matters will be replaced with an earnest desire for the salvation of God. Pride will be replaced by humility. Self-esteem, self-satisfaction will be replaced by confession of how helpless and hopeless I am and what a hell-deserving condition I am in. Believe the word of God concerning his work. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Believe that Christ bore your sins, took your place, and by his death did all that was needed for your salvation. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. To the person who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. My friend, God will not believe for us. Jesus Christ will not believe for us. If you have had your heart opened by God the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, for it is the Lord by His Spirit who opens the heart to pay attention to the word read or preached. If the Lord has touched your heart, confess your guilt to Him. Tell Him you believe He died for you. Rest in His finished work. Embrace Him as your Savior, your Lord. This is what is meant by believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. I have no doubt there are some of you out in Radio Land this morning who have had a thought come to you now and then that you ought to respond and be a Christian. But you said, and of course to yourself, you said, I will think about it, or I'm leaning toward it, and I just cannot take the final step. Let me ask you, why not? Why not now? You should. You will be a blessed and more happier person. You will be saved from your disease of sin and from your danger of eternal punishment. You may accept all I have been saying about who and what Jesus Christ is, and yet be as far away from salvation as if you had never heard the name of the Savior. To believe in Jesus Christ is to put yourself on Him. What do you do when a person you trust promises you a small gift or some advantage? You simply trust them. What do you do when someone dear to you says, "Rest on my love for you"? You simply trust them. The same exercise of trust which has been the blessed glue which has held human society together up to now is the same kind of trust that directs us to Jesus Christ, bringing all His saving blessings to work in our lives. Trust Him. Learn, my friend, what your sickness is. Learn what your danger is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let us pray. Gracious, most gracious Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the privilege to share it this morning. Thank you for the privilege to hear it this morning. Give to us the blessing by your Spirit to understand this word, that it would bring forth fruit of praise to our God and profit to us. As this word has been sown, we pray that we might see it come to fruition, bring joy to our hearts and praise to our God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.